Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So happy Mardi Gras, happy Fat Tuesday. As we get ready for Lent, of prayer, fasting, penance, and conversion, this is something that's so important for each and every one of us. We get great grace during Lent. Again, Lent is the 40 days. You don't include solemnities or Sundays for fasting. These are celebration days. So it goes from Ash Wednesday, which is a full day of fast. Good Friday is a full day of fast. The one thing that's important is that that we pray, fast, do penance, and convert. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to fast from, you know, I my temper. Well, fasting has to do with food. And yes, some of us can't fast just with food, so we have to do something different. But the majority of us should be fasting from food. And you know, something simple. I mean, you don't starve yourself to death. That's not what this is about. But you know, instead of say for example, you might put 2 spoons of sugar in your coffee. You just put 1 spoon of sugar in. You're saying to the Lord, I want to make this a little fast. The other thing too is, you know, we wear our scapulars. You know, our scapulars are very important. This year it's going to be a little different. They're going to put ashes on our head. Scripture says sackcloth and ashes. With your scapular, what would be a good thing to do is to get a piece of burlap, pin it to your scapular. I mean, you don't have to wear a whole thing, but just to say to Jesus, I want to remember this Lent. It's not just another 40 days, but sackcloth and ashes, repenting of our sins, but not only our own sins, but the sins of all of mankind. See, we're entering into a new era. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the supernatural is based on the natural. Okay, so what does this mean for us? Well, if Jesus is telling us the kingdom is coming, this divine nobility is going to be given back to us. This is one of the reasons why we wear the scapular. It's to say to Our Lady, yes, I want to be clothed again in divine nobility. I want to be clothed again with this great gift of the divine will. So we have to remember what Our Lady of Revelation told us as she spoke to Bruno in 1947, an approved apparition in the church. She says to Bruno, time has now come to an end. What does this mean? It's not the end of the world. It's a new era that we're going to enter into, this abundant life that we're going to enter into. This is why everything's happening worldwide. Everything's happening worldwide. Think about the virus. All the churches, all the Catholic churches were closed for a year. Jesus is talking to us. He says to Louisa, when the church is closed, he says, I have closed them. I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of being ignored. So we can't blame the bishops or the cardinals or our pastors for the churches closing, because Jesus says he's doing this. Why? Something glorious is coming, and he's trying to get us ready. We've been, if you want to say, in Lent since last Lent, if we really look at it. And our God is trying to get us ready for this new era that's coming upon the earth. It's not just for the Catholics. Jesus is talking to every religion, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants. He's talking to the atheists. Jesus is the Word of God. And he's trying to get everyone ready for this new beginning that's coming. It's a glorious beginning. So if the supernatural is based on the natural, this natural life that we have has to begin to change. And this is what's happening. Whether we see it or not, it's happening right now. So our Lord is trying to get us ready. This Lent is very, very, very important. Sackcloth and ashes. That's how we begin. And if we pin our burlap to our scapular, this will help us understand that more prayer is needed. I mean, think about it. John Paul II. See, the luminous mysteries were written by a beautiful priest. I think it was in 1957. And John Paul II was praying the luminous prayers. You know, he wanted to pray more, not only just 15 mysteries, but an extra 5. Why? More prayer is needed now. And this is why, as we read the divine will, as we study the divine will, we're entering into a deeper level of love for Jesus and Mary, for the Holy Church. We fall into a deeper love. And that's what the divine will is. The divine will is the life of love, of light, and of life. This is what our God is asking of us. Our God is asking us to begin to enter into this abundant life. So this Lent, let's make it the best Lent we can have. Make it maybe for like I've said this every Lent. You know, so for some of us, it's the last Lent that we'll go through. Yesterday, two people that the prayer groups knew, two people, close family members died. I mean, that was just out of the blue. I mean, we're here for a short period of time. And our job is to get closer and closer to Jesus and Mary, closer to the Holy Church, in order to begin to live this heaven on earth. And that's what the divine will is. So we're continuing with this great gift of the divine will of sleeping in the arms of Jesus. We're in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. That's 79 years before, if you want to say the 9/11 that changed the world. 9/11 changed the world, and of 2001. What was going on? See, the evil one knows that he has to do something to grab as many souls as he can, because he knows his time has now come to an end. So our job is to get closer and closer to God. So continuing in my usual state, and Luisa's usual state was pain, suffering. And Jesus told Luisa, you must love suffering. When you hear that, you go, I don't like to suffer. I don't want to suffer. But this is suffering. Christ crucified is suffering. Mary at the foot of the cross. This is love. Jesus and Mary. And when we love suffering, we fall deeper in love with Jesus, who died on the cross for us. Mary, whose heart was ripped in two at the foot of the cross. Continuing in my usual state, and all of us are suffering spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. I was abandoning all of myself in the holy will of my sweet Jesus. So Luisa shows us that this is where we have to be, abandoning ourselves to completely into the divine will of God. This is where we're supposed to be. This is where we're supposed to be living. And she says, in feeling the need to rest, I said to myself, also my sleep, I want to sleep in your holy divine will. So every night before you go to bed, you say this to Jesus. Lord, I want to sleep in your holy divine will. I want to rest in you. I want you to rest in me. With this, Jesus says, are you serious? Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to sleep in my arms? Do you want me to sleep in your arms? Do you really want this? Because this is what God wants. This is why the seventh day was the day of rest. That's why we keep holy on the Sabbath. That's why you don't fast on Sundays. You don't fast on Sundays because It's a day of celebration. It's the Lord's Day. You know, you don't sit at the table, you know, with your family saying, well, we can't eat on Sunday. No, it's a celebration day. And when you count all the days, it's 40 days, not including Sundays, not including days of celebration. I was abandoning myself all of it in the holy will of God and feeling the need to rest. I said, also sleep. I want to sleep in your holy divine will. I want nothing else but to take true rest in the arms of your will. Your volition. So this is what God is asking of us. Are you willing? Do you want what God wants? God wants us to rest in him. Remember, it was 6 days and then he created man. Now I can rest. Now I can rest in my image and likeness. And my image and likeness can rest in me. And this is why Sundays are so important. That we don't steal Sundays away from God. We don't take back what belongs to God. This is his day. It's a holy day. And we want to rest in him. We want to be one in him. It's a completely different day than the rest of the week. So when we begin to learn this, when we begin to study this, we make sure that, you know, like scripture says, we dress to give glory to God. You don't wear your jeans and a t-shirt on Sundays. I mean, it's why? That's not your best. You want to give this day is the Lord's day. This day is, I want to give to God the best I can look on the outside. Not only the best that you can look on the inside, but I want this for the glory of God. So we have to look at how we live on Sundays. Is it a sports day? If it is a sports day, it's not another Saturday. It's the Lord's day. And for many people, especially in the divine will, what they do is they say, if I have to work, I want to make sure that I don't work on Sunday. And when you go for a job, I remember one person in particular, who said to the Lord, the only thing I want is let me work anything you want, but I want Sundays off to give you honor, you glory. And the job that they got, you would want it. it's a job where the whole day can be focused on giving glory to God. And this is what God does. He goes, do you really want to do this for my glory? Do you really want to not take a job of more money so that you can honor me more? And when these people do this, when the little children, the Holy Divine will do this, they get a job that's extremely, you know, people would envy if they knew how much freedom, how much joy it is to keep holy the Sabbath. It's the same thing with sackcloth and ashes. When you wear the sackcloth on your scapular, what happens is you say to the Lord, "This is the clothing. This is my sinfulness. This is my clothing. I want to be clothed in divinity." So I humbly come before you in my sackcloth and ashes. I remember a couple times we had enough ashes left over that we gave everybody in the prayer group ashes, you know, from burnt palms and blessed palms. And during the course of Lent, each day they put ashes on their head, each day, to say to the Lord, I'm sorry for the way I lived. I'm sorry the way I thought, the way I spoke, the way I lived, the things I did, the things I failed to do. I'm sorry for that. And I want to use this time. I mean, nobody knew they had ashes on their head. You don't cover yourself with ashes in front of people. You don't wear sackcloth in front of people. It's hidden, like your scapular, hidden. It's to say to the Lord, I have to change my evil ways. You know, all of us fall, as St. Paul says, all of us fall short of the glory of God. So this is private. When you go to the church and you lay down on the ground, you know, prostrate on the ground, you don't do that in front of people. Gee, you remember Father Bucci said, do everything in a hidden way, a insignificant way, not to be noticed. And that's what it means to live in the divine will. Nobody knows your heart. Nobody knows your heart. So you give your heart, as she says here, I also want to sleep. I want nothing else but take true rest in the arms of your will, your holy divine will. And this is so essential that we use this Lenten time to draw closer and closer to Jesus, closer and closer to Mary. So he says, Jesus says, Luisa, my daughter, lay your rest as a mantle over all mankind so as to cover all mankind. When we pray, it's to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, from Adam to the last person, all mankind. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my grandchildren. I got to pray for them. Yes, you do. But that's a sign, a symbol to us to pray for all of the children of God, all of them. Every soul needs help. Every soul, Jesus is saying, are you willing to stand in the breach as Moses did, not just for the Israelites, but for all of my children, praying in their name? And that's what's happening, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is something that's so glorious about the divine will. You're not just focused on the narrowness of your family. You're focused on all of God's children, so that we're all in this together, so that all mankind can, you represent all mankind. As a matter of fact, the church teaches this. And when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind, even if you're alone in the chapel, especially when you're alone in the chapel. Jesus wants to hear your voice, maybe not out loud because you don't want to bother anyone, but praying with your voice. And what he does is he hears everyone in mankind praying with your voice, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him, worshiping him with your voice. That's what he's saying to Luisa. He says, lay your rest as a mantle over all mankind so as to cover all mankind. See, most people get to heaven because of someone praying for them. Someone in our family prayed for us. Some priest, some bishop, some cleric, some religious, some simple soul, humble soul prayed for us to get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to meet these people. All the saints who prayed for us, all our family who prayed for us. We can't get there alone. And now it's our job, Jesus says, to pray for everyone. Why? The kingdom is coming. Now God says, I want to wrap this up. I want to wrap this show up. I want now to get everyone get ready for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming for all mankind. Some souls are so far from God that every day us praying for them will bring about their conversion. It's people did this for us. It's our job to do it for others, to help everyone get into the kingdom. We want the evil one to be so humiliated, all that he did, all that he, his lies, his seductions, his misery, didn't accomplish what he wanted. God's will accomplishes everything. And God's will is that all his children enter into the kingdom. He said that in Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between you, Lucifer, and your children, and the woman, Mary, and her children. This is where we are today. We are called to make this Lent so powerful that it's a new beginning for everyone, a new beginning for all of mankind, because the kingdom is coming. Jesus tells Luisa, it's the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. That's what our God has planned. So he says, lay your rest as a mantle over all mankind, as to cover all mankind, because only in my most holy divine will is there true rest. True rest is one with God, fused with God, which we say every morning when we do our prevenient act. We want to be one with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. We want to be one with our Heavenly Father. We want to be one with the Holy Spirit. We want to be one with our Blessed Mother. We want to be one with all the angels and saints. One with God, fused with God. And that's why he says this very, very clearly. He says, because only in my most holy divine will is there true rest. It's not sports on Sunday. It's not anything separated from God on Sunday. As we keep holy the Sabbath every Sunday, God is saying, I want you to keep this Lenten season holy. Okay, so every day when you pray, every day when you enter into this life of prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, again, it's not starvation. It's saying to Jesus, I want to give up this little thing so that this little piece of bread, so that you, Lord Jesus, know my heart, my mind, my soul, that you, Lord Jesus, recognize that what you said to Luisa, I'm also taking seriously. I'm going to pray in the name of all mankind so that all mankind may enter into your will. We're learning from her what Jesus and Mary taught her. This is why it's so great. And since Jesus says true rest, and since true rest envelops everything, the divine will envelops everything, as you rest in my most holy divine will, you will lay yourself over all mankind in order to impetrate true rest for all mankind. Great things are coming. Amazing things are coming. Astonishing things are coming. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. God has saved the best for last. He's giving to mankind this great gift of the divine will. And to possess what God wants is to enter into his holy divine will. No more living in our human misery. It's not about us. We're nothing. God is everything. It's not to say how bad I am, how terrible I am. It's to say how glorious you are, how magnificent you are. Our eyes are focused on him. And when we do that, we are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. We are filled with the light, the love, the light, the life of God. This infinite ocean of divine will, this infinite ocean of love. Jesus says to Luisa, I want you to dive into this ocean and never, ever escape. I want you to always be one with me, fused with me in my holy divine will. That's what God is asking. He says very, very clearly, since the divine will envelops everything, as you rest, as you go to sleep each night in my divine will, you will lay yourself over all of mankind like a mantle in order to impetrate, to pray for, to beg true rest for all of mankind. See, most people are in such a miserable condition that they have no sense of joy. They have no desire for happiness. They're filled with worry and fear and anxiety and complaints and negativity and sin, that they can't say to Jesus, I trust in you. And even if they do pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I trust in you, there isn't any trust. Why? They're still miserable. The Jesus I trust in you is to prepare the world for the divine will. Because what's coming, when God says he's going to shake the earth in the book of Revelation, he's going to wake us up. He's going to wake us up to show us that this world is not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in eternity. And that's exactly what Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno. Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, she says, my children will enter eternity where they belong. See, all we know is this earth. All we know is this earth. That's all we know. Where Our Lady says we belong in eternity, in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. That's where we belong. That's why God made all of the universe for man, so man can enjoy the beauty of all of creation. And since man fell, Jesus and Mary come to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? To give back to man through redemption, Eden, paradise. And so what a lot of people do is, well, I got to be here to this is my life. I got to make sure everything works out well. And this is my, no, our life is heaven. When you read the lives of the saints, they gave up everything. What? For what? For heaven. This is why there's so few saints. They got a saint here and a saint there. Jesus says, what I want is everyone to get ready for paradise. This is where you're going. And so Our Lady said, my children will enter into Eden where they belong. The children of Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space. This life, misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, without God. That's why people are miserable. They don't trust in Jesus. They don't trust in our Heavenly Father. They don't trust in the Holy Spirit. They trust in themselves. God is saying to us, go, come back to me and I will make it easy for you, because his way is easy. It's his burden is light. So what is he saying to us? He's saying, again, for us Catholics, us Christians, he's saying to us, I want you to keep holy the Sabbath. And then he's saying for us, most especially Catholics, with the ashes, with the burlap, I want you to turn away from sin. I want you, what does the priest say? Remember that thou art dust and dust thou shalt return. We're dust. We're nothing. Yeah, Jesus is saying to us, I want you to share in my divinity. The priest says that at Holy Mass every day by putting the drop of water into the chalice. St. Peter says our job is to be divinized. Not to become God, but to share in his divinity. What a glorious thing. And where is our life? Is it here? We're here for, scripture says, 70 years, 80 years if you're strong. It's not a long time here. Eternity is eternity. The beatific vision is seeing God as he is and becoming like him. That's the whole reason for this great gift of the divine will. This chapter is going to close. Our Lady said that time has now come to an end. The new beginning of the door opening is the kingdom of God on earth, exactly the way it's in heaven. Jesus says, I want to see no difference between heaven and earth. Right now, there's a big difference. So Jesus is giving us this time to prepare, especially this Lent, to prepare for what he, the Lord God Almighty, has planned. We're in his plans. And so this is what he says to Luisa. It's just so wonderful. He says, basically, and since it envelops, the divine will envelops everything, as you rest in my divine will, am I reading this correctly? You will lay yourself over everyone in order to impetrate true rest for all of mankind. How beautiful it is to see the creature, a creature of ours, in the arms of our will. How beautiful it is to see a soul back where Adam was before the fall. That's Luisa. How beautiful it is that finally, not only my mother, he says, the queen of heaven and earth, and Jesus, the Son of God, not only the two of us, Are we living in the divine will? But now how beautiful it is to see a soul, Louisa, a human, Louisa, born of original sin, Louisa, living in the divine will. Finally, someone is receiving this gift that Adam lost. Because if she possesses it, we can possess it. If Jesus and Mary taught Louisa with this book of heaven to begin to do this, then we can begin to live this life. And that's why if you haven't asked your pastor or haven't found people in your church, your parish, to pray the 24 hours of the Passion, great book. It will change the parish's life. It will change the life of all of mankind. And Jesus says, those that pray the 24 hours of the Passion, those that pray this book written by Jesus, really, dictated to Louisa, those areas will be safe at the time of the chastisement. God will protect those areas. Those are Jesus' words. St. Honorable de Francia said that this book is so beautiful. Like when he presented it to St. Pius X, he went to see St. Pius X and presented the 24 Hours of the Passion. And he started reading this to him, to Pope St. Pius X. Pope St. Pius X says, we must kneel. Jesus is speaking to us. Then it was under the direction of the Holy Father, Pope St. Pius X, that this book be published. Now here's a little secret. When I asked the question, when I was in Giovanni Rotondo, what book was Padre Pio reading? What book? They said, well, we can't tell you what book. St. Padre Pio was at that time, after St. Pius X said these books must be published. St. Padre Pio suffered 50 years of the stigmata. Why? To prepare the world for what God is going to bring to the world. And that's the divine will. That'll all be seen sooner or later. And Father Bucci said that Padre Pio would yell at the people who from Corrado when they came here. He goes, why are you coming to me? Go to Louisa. He knew what Jesus was showing Louisa. St. Thomas Aquinas stopped writing the Summa. He says, God showed me what is true, and all that I've written is mere straw compared to what's coming. I think God showed him, St. Thomas Aquinas, the book of heaven. God has given us the book of heaven. God has given us a means to draw closer to him. When we read, when we study, when we put this into practice, when you go through the calendar every day, it changes you completely. Why? Jesus, the Word of God, is speaking to us. His words are divine life. He says infinite. His words are infinite. And that word that he speaks, the more we read it, the more we study it, the more we begin to understand that he expands our capacity to understand what he, the Lord God Almighty, is saying. That's why he calls it the gospel of the kingdom. That's the term that he gave to St. Honorable de Francia. God, can you imagine? And in the 24th chapter of Matthew, line 14, it says that until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world, the kingdom can't come. So what is our job? Our job is to read this in the name of everyone and everything. Proclaim it to all of mankind as we read this, as we study this. And then our longing for it will happen. Because in volume 24, Jesus says that the kingdom will happen as if by magic. All of a sudden it's here and everybody's going to say, how did the kingdom come? How did this happen? And Jesus said, because it happened because of Louisa and the soul's linked to Louisa. That's what our God is bringing to us. A new beginning. A new beginning. So he says very, very clearly, he says this to us. How beautiful it is to finally see a soul of God's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit resting in the arms of our most holy divine will, as Adam did before the fall. But in order to find true rest, it is necessary that the soul put all of her acts, all of her words, all of her love, all of her desires on the way within our most holy divine will, within, through, and for Jesus, as Jesus is doing everything within, through, and for us, so that as they take their place in the divine will, these souls, that's hopefully that's us, may receive the rest and I may rest in them. This is the seventh day. This is what true rest is. That's why in the book of Genesis, it says the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. But there's no morning or evening of the seventh day, because now is the time of the morning and evening of the seventh day. Jesus waited. Remember, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. He's waited 7,000 years, 6,000 years. And now he's begun the 7,000th year. Now is the time that we're going to enter into this abundant life. And again, I love it when people say, oh, I can't wait for that 1,000-year reign of Jesus. I said, that's only the first day. That's only the first day. This 1,000 reign of a year, this 1,000-year reign that everybody talks about is only the first day. God has got great, great plans. Great, great plans. And he's asking us to get ready. So we're going to use this Lent. We're going to consecrate ourselves to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with our Blessed Mother, through the intercession of Louisa, to begin to live this Lent in a way that God has planned for us to live in. And it's beginning with this rest. In order to find true rest, it is necessary to put all of her acts, her words, her love, her desires on the way within our most holy divine will, so that as they take their place in the divine will, they may receive the rest, and I, God, may rest in them. That the souls linked to Louisa begin to live that seventh day, a day of rest. That's God's day. It's to participate one with him. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no doubts. It's all fiat. Fiat. To enter into this abundant life is what God is asking us to do. Now, before we die. Jesus says to Louisa, I want to give to mankind the resurrected life. That's why I rose from the dead. So why? So people can begin to live the resurrected life now before they die. To live heaven now before they die. There's great things God's got planned. We're the only ones that get in the way with our doubts, our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativities. The thing that gets in the way the most is when we say, I, me, my, and mine. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and this is mine, and I, that gets in the way. It's Jesus. It's Mary. The way Louisa lived. So when you wake up in the morning, you say, Jesus, what are we going to do today? That's what it means. That I may rest in them and they may rest in it. They may really have rest. It's Jesus that we're with. Jesus, what are we going to have for breakfast this morning? Jesus, you want to go for a walk? Let's go for a walk. Jesus, walk in my walking, breathe in my breathing. Our Lady said to Louisa, the surest way to live in the divine will is to live on earth if it was only you and Jesus. That's the truest way to live in the divine will. It's Jesus. know, it's always Jesus. You know, when you look at something and you go, Jesus, look at those clouds up there. Aren't they amazing? Lord, I want to love the Father as you love the Father. When you looking at these clouds, praising the Father, glorifying the Father, worshiping the Father. See, it's not us anymore. It's him and him alone. So this is what he says. Only when they are fulfilled, okay, that is your acts, your words, your love, your desires in the divine will, then do all works give rest. So everything that you think, say, and do brings you rest in God, oneness with God, keeping holy the Sabbath on Sunday, one with God. It's not a sport to entertain yourself. It's to let God be God, to rest in God on Sunday, to have your heart beating with God beating in your heart, to breathe with Jesus breathing in your breathing, to be one with him, fused with him in the holy divine will. That's why Jesus says that very, very clearly. He says very clearly, it is necessary that they put all of our acts, words, love, desires within our most holy divine will so that they can take their place in the divine will. That's what God wants, and may receive rest, and I may rest in them. Only when they are fulfilled, when we do this, then do all works give rest. But if they are not fulfilled, they always give some concern, something to do, which renders true rest restless. There's no peace. There's no peace if you're doing anything separate from God. We have to learn to do everything one with Jesus, as Louisa did, as the Blessed Mother lived. Everything, her life was Jesus. Her life was Jesus and Mary. This is what God wants for us. The new Adam and the new Eve wants to give this. So in volume 15, December 6, 1923, my divine will is always fixed on darting through the creature. Every thought, every word, every deed, Jesus is saying, are you doing this in the divine will? The soul can receive it in every instant, whether she breathes, whether she thinks, speaks, palpitates, takes food or sleeps, everything, Jesus says, must enter into my divine will. And in every instant, Jesus says, don't waste a moment. The soul can be filled with my divine will together with all the goods that the most holy divine will contains. That's the sixth step that Our Lady taught Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. As much as possible, we receive the divine qualities of God as much as we possibly can. And we have to remember, St. Teresa says, if you open yourself to the size of a thimble, God will fill it. You open yourself the size of a bathtub, God will fill it. The divine will is to dive into this infinite ocean of the love of God, never to separate, always to be one with God, filled with the peace, joy, and the happiness of God, filled with the glory of God. All that the divine will contains is ours, Jesus says, if we want it, if we wish it. So we're going to use this Lent as a time of prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. And again, if you forget it's Lent, start over. Start over every day and watch the grace, the love God's going to give to you. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command for all the little children, the holy divine will, to become divinely healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask that this prayer becomes God's command. God bless you. Happy Mardi Gras.